Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today, I'm talking to Damien Vince. He is one of the co-founders of Change Toothpaste, which is a really exciting company that is absolutely changing the way we think about toothpaste. And so welcome to the show, Damien. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you got cooked up over there in terms of the toothpaste industry.
Sure. So we make sustainable toothpaste, we call it. It's a toothpaste tablet. Changes how you, not how you brush your teeth, but what you use. So every toothpaste tube is not recyclable or compostable, right? So every toothpaste tube ever made is still in a landfill somewhere. So we've developed our version of the toothpaste tablet, and we put them in a compostable pouch. A couple of different things. Benefits is it's all natural, compostable pouches, so no waste ever. And then as well, there's lower shipping for it because we're not shipping water because it's a dry toothpaste tablet.
Yeah, really cool. And so we have some tablets actually here that you sent along to us a while back, actually, when we had first had a conversation. And so I've been saving them until we had this show. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about how these work, and we'll get into that in a little bit later in the show. Because what I want you to talk to me about first off, I guess, is just in terms of your experience as an entrepreneur. You've been at this now for about 3 years in this particular business. What do you think every entrepreneur needs to know? Do you have a top three kind of ideas there?
Oh, yes. Well, there's more than three, that's for sure. My primary thing to tell entrepreneurs is to decide why you're doing it. You have to have a drive, but you need to understand what that drive is. It's entrepreneurship is not for everybody. It's a hard struggle some days. So understanding why you do it will remind you in those downtimes and those uptimes of what you're actually working towards, right? You know, lots of people say, I want the freedom. And there's not a lot of freedom in entrepreneurship. It's just different, right? We put our heart and souls into things, and we do it because it fills our bucket. For me, anyway, that's my drive. I enjoy the creating of something, whether that's the actual manufacturing of something, which I've never done before this business, but just taking something from nothing and putting it out into the world, whether it's a service or a product or even, you know, anything really. You have to have some sort of drive for that, and that's my primary thing, is to understand that. My second thing as an entrepreneur is to really always grow, right? You always want to get better. You can't stay where you are and expect things to change, for one. But if things are good, there's always ways to do it better, get better, be better. You can, you know, develop personally, you can develop professionally. And I always think it's worth growing. Self-introspection, right? You know, I always want to look back and say, was I a good person? Did I do that right? Did I do that poorly? Could I have done it better? And learning from those experiences and really help you be a better entrepreneur, a better person, and then being able to share that with other people as well, right? So not holding all of that information in, and, you know, it's this isn't a zero-sum game. This is life, right? So we can help other people grow. And my third thing from a business perspective is really just hire people for things that you're not good at. There are lots of things you're also still good at, but because you're better at other things, if you hire people to do those things, that frees you up to do the things that you're very good at doing. So yeah. I'm a tech person from my background. I enjoy the tech industry part of my business. I do all of that myself, but accounting tasks, for example, are not my strong suit. I am a numbers guy. I understand them. I can do the bookkeeping. Do I really want to? No. Could I spend more time doing other things? Absolutely. So yeah. I suggest finding good people to do the things that you are not good at.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really sage advice, because we all get trapped into that doing things because we, you know, feel that it needs to be done, and maybe somebody else is going to, you know, there's a cost outlay there. And so cash flow, you're always protecting cash flow, especially in the early days. But what we don't appreciate as much is how much it actually could be costing us to be holding that ourselves, because now we can't do the things that we need to get done. As they say, anytime that you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to everything else. And so when you're using your time to do something where you're saying, yeah, I'll get that done, even though it's something that is lower value, you're much better off to push it off and to somebody else and focus on the things that are going to drive your business forward. So
it comes back to the freedom too, right? So if you have no freedom because you're working 14, 16, 18 hours a day, paying somebody for peace of mind to free up some of your time so you don't get burnt out comes down to that as well.
Yeah, completely. So what inspired you then to create this business? Like why tablets for toothpaste? I know there's an environmental impact to the regular toothpaste out there. Is it solely because of that, or was there some other motivation that you had to?
So primarily it was for the environment. So my business partner, Mike, and I started the business right before we were working on this project. We were doing another project, and that turned into this essentially. So we were talking about maybe opening up a sustainable store that focused on the bathroom, the kitchen, the home life, finding products that were like that. There weren't a lot of stores in Edmonton that offered those solutions, and we thought, oh, it might be a good thing for us to do, opening up a retail shop and doing all that, and then with some tech stuff we'd be able to do online and all that. So right at that point, starting to investigate what products could be sold in that store, we run across the idea of the toothpaste tablet. We of course reach out and say, would you be interested in doing a deal with us where we could do some things in Canada for you? They're a US-based company. We had ordered some product. It took 11 weeks to get it here. It was $40 Canadian landed cost. It was expensive and it took a very long time. Maybe there's something that we can do to help you here in Canada. That idea was shot down. It wasn't of interest to them, and that's fine. So we kind of thought, well, how hard would it be to make it? Toothpaste tablet. So we took from January of 2019 until June of 2019, developing the recipe and figuring out how tablets work and the manufacturing, the machinery, the equipment, everything that we needed, sourcing packaging that was compostable, trying a lot of different toothpaste. We're on recipe 110. There were a lot of bad toothpaste in between. right. And really how it all started was you look at that product that was already created. It wasn't available to the masses in our country. And then once you educate yourself about the toothpaste tube, you can't unlearn those things. You know, a conventional toothpaste tube is made up of 11 polymers, plastics, and resins that aren't recyclable. There aren't compostable. You can't reuse them. So every toothpaste tube still a landfill somewhere. You can't unlearn that. So every day you're sitting at home brushing your teeth and you're squeezing that dollop of toothpaste onto your toothbrush. And you're going, what am I going to do with this toothpaste tube at the end? Well, you're just putting it in the garbage. And there, we knew that there was a better way to do it. And the drive to create something from my entrepreneur background is, you know, it just didn't stop. So it was, let's figure it out. We sit down, we take one challenge at a time. It didn't work today, might work tomorrow. And, you know, 6 months later, it really took 6 months. We developed the product that you have in your hands today. We used to have different packaging. It was all hand stamped. It was very labor intensive process. And then you know, as the business grew, we made our first sale in July of 2019. We did an ATB booster campaign, like a Kickstarter campaign in November of 2019. We end up doing some media campaigns and getting into the Associated Press onto the Flipboard app in late 2019. We do a huge amount of sales that year. And then the pandemic hits, you know, and we're all back down to, you know, square one, and we don't know how things are going to progress. And it's fine. It's built its business up over the years, and we're doing better.
Yeah. Yeah. And so right now I have three different flavors here. So we have the spearmint, we have cinnamon, and we have bubble gum as the three flavors right now. And on the website, I see that you have a compostable dental floss stick as well. Yeah. And there's another flavor or another product that's coming out right around the corner as well. Do you want to talk about that one?
Absolutely. Yeah. So for the last 2 years, we've been gearing up for a fluoride tablet. Our products right now are all natural, so they're fluoride free. The regulatory requirements in Canada are that, you know, they have to be produced in a regulated factory and all of those things. So for the last two years, we've been working towards that. We've developed the recipe with the fluoride. They've met the requirements just recently, and we hope to have those for sale here in the coming months, I want to say.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, exciting. And I know it's been a bit of time coming. And so there's been some hurdles that you had to cross there in order to get that to the finish line. But it's exciting that it's going to be here in the matter of weeks, really. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually show people what this is like, because there's a lot of people that have never heard of a toothpaste tablet. And I hadn't prior to bumping into you. And so this was just a novel idea to think that I would be able to brush my teeth with something that is just the size of really just a mint. And so for those who are listening on this to this podcast, just the audio version, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to see this, but it is the size of like a tiny, tiny little breath mint. And it's just a little tiny tablet. Now, one of the things that I was really skeptical of, and I imagine this is something that you have to overcome in your marketing, so you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But when I look at this, I'm like, well, I don't know how frothy that's going to get, right? Because toothpaste, you know, a good, nice froth is what I'm used to or what I desire when I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah. So when we first started the business, I had two mandates in my head. One was that the toothpaste had to work and taste like toothpaste. Like conventional toothpaste. Otherwise, nobody's going to switch. And it had to be non-habit changing. So it had to work just like you would every morning or night when you brush your teeth. So when you pop that tablet in your mouth, you're going to chew it up a couple of times. It's going to break down in your mouth to somewhat of a powder. And when you add a wet toothbrush to that, it almost instantly foams up. So you're going to get that feeling of toothpaste. And we've tried, to be honest, with 110 recipes, we tried making toothpaste without it foaming. And it's not the same. It leaks out of your mouth no matter how closed-lipped you get. It's not the same. So it had to feel and work just like toothpaste. And you'll see when you pop that in your mouth, you're going to just chew it up a couple of times, brush with that wet toothbrush, you'll get the foam.
Okay, sounds really good. Okay, so this is a test, everybody. So I just dipped my toothbrush into a glass of water here. I have the tablet. I'm going to throw it in my mouth now and start chewing. So yeah, so kind of a pasty, but granular, but it's not like I took a wad of toothpaste or anything like that either.
Not chalky.
No, not chalky at all.
Yeah, it gives you that sweet and that flavor. So you're using the cinnamon, I think, and remind me of a cinnamon heart that you get at Valentine's Day. My friend also told me that it tastes like a cinnamon cert, if you ever had those in your youth.
So here I have, this audio is going to suck, but I just brushed my teeth for about, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. And you can tell I have a mouthful of frothy toothpaste.
Very good.
And spit it out now so that I can actually talk a little bit here. Yeah. And so great taste. It definitely has that cinnamon taste on this particular one. And lots of foaming. It feels just like toothpaste. And so it's a really common, you know, what I would expect toothpaste to be, but out of a tablet. Now, you did send me a few of these packages in advance. And so I have been using some of the other ones that you sent me. And what I really love about it is when I'm traveling, actually. So I can throw that into my carry-on and I don't have to worry about, you know, the liquids and pastes and everything else that have to go into the bags and stuff. It's also super light. I love it for camping. Is actually one of my favorite things to use it for. So I take it along whenever I'm out camping, because you just pop one in and just start brushing. In most cases, I don't even actually use, I don't actually dampen my toothbrush. I just start brushing right there, and the saliva is enough to keep it foaming.
Yeah, usually. The more water you add, the more foam you get. So if you're finding that the tablet doesn't foam up enough, just add a little bit more water and you'll get that activation. Yeah, the travel aspect of the toothpaste is great. When we started the business, that was one of the big aspects to the tablet, because they're dry, there's no liquid in them. You can take as many as you want on an airplane. Unfortunately, pandemic hit right after we launched. It's not really a good ad campaign when you can't travel. But business people love it because they, you know, frequent flyers who, you know, travel for business, you're always going in with a carry-on when you're doing 2 or 3 4-day travel. It's great because you can just put it in your carry-on. Actually, every time I've flown since we developed this product, I take a whole bunch with me and I give them out to the flight attendants and the pilots when I go, because it's great. They don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Really cool. Okay. So let's kind of talk about the business a little bit. So it's been 3 years that you've been running the business. You had to go through the pandemic. You had some challenges with the launch of the fluoride one. So there's been some lessons that you've learned along the way, I'm sure. So if you could, you know, pen yourself a letter, you know, to your younger 3-year earlier self, what would be in that letter then in terms of advice or mentorship that you would be providing in yourself?
Right. We're a direct to consumer business, and a toothpaste manufacturer. That is our business. I would have recommended to myself to open my mind up to diversify a little bit more at the beginning, focus on retail locations. So wholesale customers, just being open to that and building that customer base up earlier rather than later. From a business perspective, you might want to look at an exit strategy right when you start. So what's your long-term goal in the business? And I have an exit strategy. I don't want to make toothpaste for the rest of my life, though I will, because I get the fulfillment out of the business end of things. But if somebody walked along and said, hey, your business is worth this and we would like to buy you out or buy you and keep you on, those are things that I strive for, right? Because we're going to build up the value of the business and then we're going to really see tangible value from what we've done over the years.
Yeah.
Looking back as well, taking your existing client base and using those tools that are available, constant communication to customers, especially in a repeat business that we're in. We have customers who are always buying from us, right? Once you switch to our toothpaste, if you love it and you continue to buy, there's ways to develop those customers into advocates for your business. So asking for reviews, like blatant asks with customers is fair to do. You're running a business. You want to grow your business and you want to tell the world about your product. Having those advocates, those influencers, social proof is important. And when we first started the business, I didn't understand that, you know, an email marketing campaign with flows would do so much for me. And if I had done that at the beginning, I could have capitalized more along the way, instead of having to come back to it a year or a year and a half later and say, oh, look at what I missed out on way back then. So investigating all of the tools and trying them, no matter the cost, because losing out on that business had more cost than what it would have cost me to just invest in it in the first place.
Yeah. So in terms of your distribution strategy, then you have the online store. You talked about that you wish that you would have maybe invested a little bit more into building out a retail, you know, network of retailers. So I presume you have that now then, is that the case? And what other channels, I guess, are you distributing via?
We have approximately 350 locations across North America selling our toothpaste tablets.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So when we first started, I wanted to own the entire channel. I wanted to own the customers, the product, the distribution, the manufacturing. Then I knew what the business was really worth, right? Because if I look at every customer who's purchased a package of toothpaste, I know who they are. I know their customer lifetime value. I know all of these things about them. And that's essentially the saleable, the value to the business. When I do a retail customer, like if I sell to a wholesaler, a retail location, I don't know who my end customer is, except the wholesale customer. And at the beginning, I was really, I didn't think that had value to me. But as you build a brand instead of just a product, getting the product into the hands of the masses, you have advocates sitting at that store. Like the person who's selling those tablets, if they're a user of your product, they're telling you, those customers, that you know, this product is fantastic. And our product comes with challenges. It's weird. There's no question about it. And when you look at a toothpaste tablet, that's not how you brush your teeth for 30 years or 40 years, right? You woke up one day, your mom taught you how to brush your teeth, or your dad, or somebody taught you how to brush your teeth. And here we are introducing a new product that is just not your normal product. And if you don't care about the education component, where the toothpaste tube isn't recyclable, you know, it doesn't really matter. So the customers who do want to make a change, hence the name, right? We want you to change your thought process, change your habits, make a sustainable change for the betterment of the world. I wanted to know who all of those people were. With the retail locations, those people now get to tell that customer, hey, I use this every day, I love it. Or, you know, I know you've tried these other ones before, you didn't like them, but you got to try these because the flavor profile is different. The texture is different. It's going to make you remember toothbrushing the way you used to, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So now, like, you're a bit of a trailblazer in the sense where you're not necessarily creating a whole new category, you know, because you didn't invent toothpaste, but you created a whole new version of toothpaste, like you said. So it's a whole retraining of people to get them to break through that paradigm that they've been stuck in. And I would imagine that must be the biggest challenge. And so what do you use from a marketing standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, from communication standpoint? How do you get people to break through that paradigm that they currently have? I think that our audience would love to know that.
Yeah. And it's a challenge. I mean, I've been doing it for 3 years and I really haven't hit that one thing yet. You know, you hope one day you're just going to flip a switch and all of these customers are going to come rushing in because you hit that market and you really spoke to those people. One of the earliest things I learned when running this business was my customers are my customers because of them, not because of me. I produce a product that fits their lifestyle or need. I can't convince somebody who doesn't want to be convinced of change that my product will fit their needs. But there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who would want my product. So it's trying to speak to those people. And really early on, we were doing farmers markets. That was our first entry into the business, you know, this business sales world. And we tried out Edmonton farmers markets. We were doing 3 or 4 a week. And one of our biggest comments on busy days were skeptics are welcome, right? We thought about making a big banner just to put it right across our tent, right? Because the challenge here is that we need to have people be open to thinking differently.
Right? Yeah.
And it's very hard. I use the language of, you know, let's educate you on the tube, but that doesn't speak to everybody. Let's educate you on the natural, you know, the ingredient, the natural ingredients that we're using. We don't have any stabilizers in our product. There's no water. So our product is shelf stable better than anything with liquid in it. So educating those people that want natural products, then speaking to the travel needs, right? Do you use it because you want to travel with toothpaste and not have to check a bag? Do you not want to have to go to the grocery store when you get to your destination just to buy toothpaste, or ask the hotel lobby because you couldn't bring your toothpaste tube on?
Yeah.
The lightweight ability, right? Camping, hiking, those sorts of things. You know, hike up a mountain, you got to take everything out that you brought up. Well, toothpaste tablet doesn't have any plastic with it. It's lightweight. You can take as many up as you need and come down with nothing essentially at the end of the day. So
yeah,
just finding those targets that customers respond to, that, you know, you're solving their need with your product.
Yeah. I think, you know, like when I reflect back to when my son was a lot younger, when I was trying to teach him how to brush his teeth, there was a fair bit of toothpaste that was consumed through that process. And the fact that yours is natural as well, I would think that would speak to a lot of parents of young children who are, you know, they're trying to train them on how to do that, because you know, the idea of all those chemicals that are in regular toothpaste is something that would bother a lot of parents.
Yeah. Not to mention the cleanliness of things, right? So
yeah,
our tablets are predetermined amounts. So you can't put a whole glob of toothpaste tablets on a toothbrush. You're going to take one, you're going to put it in your mouth, you're going to brush it up. It dissolves almost instantly. It foams up. There's no blue green, purple, yellow toothpaste left in the sink when you're all said and done. They're not going to squeeze it out all over the counter. They're not going to make a mess all down their shirt. And then we have the non-spicy flavor, as kids would call it, right? We have that bubble gum, not just for kids, because there's lots of adults who like it too, but that fun flavor with, you know, the routine of brushing your teeth. So mom, can I have a tablet? I'm going to go brush my teeth, right? So routine and predetermined amounts works well for parents.
Yeah, I never thought about the predetermined amount part, but yeah, that's a really great point, right? Because there is, I remember, you know, the mess of all the toothpaste all over the sink, right? And he says he's squeezing it out.
And for adults too, because when you buy your fresh tube of toothpaste, you're putting as much on, because that toothpaste tube is going to last you forever, right? You just fill up that toothbrush, which isn't necessary. So a lot of waste going in there. So you brush your teeth. And then as you get that toothpaste tube depleted, you're squeezing out every little bit you possibly can. And, you know, at the end of the day, did you leave a little bit in there? There's a little bit, you know, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that did I waste there? And, and toothpaste tablets, you know, when they're done, because there's none left.
Yeah. So I'm curious, now, you know, that you've been at this for 3 years, has the definition of success changed at all for you?
Well, that's a tough one. I am very self-reflective, and we talked about that at the beginning. I like to look back at things and think, how could I be better? I think success is, for some people, is about wealth and accomplishments and those sorts of things. I don't really have a definition of success that I go by now. I try to be a better human than I was yesterday. That's me as successful. I try to leave ego at the door, which is very hard to do as you grow up. You know, you aren't trained. We didn't talk about that as kids. We didn't talk about being, you know, we're taught to be kind, but I try to operate in the way that I want to help other people. I said, we want to share this. My life is not a zero sum game. If I succeed, great. But that doesn't mean somebody has to fail for me to succeed. So I want to help as many people out as I possibly can. You know, would I think I'm more successful if I end up selling this business for a large amount of money and the brand continues along for the rest of time? Sure. But that's not going to define me whether I'm successful or not. You know, I have a family, I have a business, I have the ability to provide, I'm happy at what I do for the most part. You know, there's always challenges, you know, struggle as an entrepreneur. There's many, many down days there as there are up days. And I think just enjoying the process is successful, right?
Yeah. So I'm curious about your answer to this next question, and that is around what is it that you love about being an entrepreneur? And then what is it that, you know, you maybe don't love quite as much?
We'll start with what I don't love so much. And for me, it's letting go, just in general, letting go. So whether that's letting go of the business to have that work-life balance, or letting go of an idea that you've put your heart and soul into that somebody else disagrees with. Right. So letting those things go, those are the hardest things for me. And a lot of that's the ego, especially on the challenge of I have a business partner and we don't always see eye to eye. We always have compromise and things go well. But I have ideas that I've thought out almost entirely in my head. And then we just can't do it because it's, you know, something else comes up that he disagrees with, or my wife disagrees with, or family or friends or customers disagree with. And you just have to let that go because it's part of the journey. It's part of the process. The thing that I like the most about being an entrepreneur is what it does for me internally. It fills my bucket. I'm creating this thing. I'm trying to leave the world in a better place. I'm trying to provide for my family. I'm trying to set my life up in a way that I can manage it day to day and year to year and month to month, rather than, you know, what am I doing for somebody else? What am I doing for now? I get to say, what am I doing for me? What am I doing for my family? Does that help? And those are the freedoms that I get out of it. I don't get time freedom, but I get freedom of choice, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's seldom do us entrepreneurs have time freedom, as much as people think that that's a big motivator. I think sometimes we come into it thinking that might be a possibility, but it's the choice freedom. Actually, I love the way that you positioned that. Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Well, thank you for sharing your story, Damien. It's just remarkable every chance I get to talk to different entrepreneurs who are doing things. And this one here is just, you know, such a unique, a problem that you're solving that, you know, so many of us, and this is the challenge that you have, didn't realize that there was a problem really until you really start to think about it. And it's something that we all use every day. And we don't think about the environmental impacts of it, nor the health impacts of it as well. And so it's just a great product, a great story. And I think that you guys are going to have just a roaring success, especially as you bring in, you know, the fluoride one, which is going to be important for a lot of people as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm glad we could finally connect, and I've enjoyed the podcast and the videos over time, and I'm grateful to participate.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening right now and enjoyed this episode, well, our archives are all over at amplifyyourbusiness.ca. And that's where you're going to find the future episodes as well, of course. And if you prefer to listen to these via audio, then you can check out Amplify Your Business by searching that term on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. So thank you again. Very much appreciate your time today, Damien. All the best to you. And I wish everybody else who's listening a prosperous day.